everyone, and welcome to Globalize Asia. Support for this podcast comes from Royal Beans Chocolates. Royal Beans is based out of Bangalore, India, and specializes in Belgian chocolates infused with exciting flavors like masala chai, cappuccino, berry blast, walnut marble, and many more. You can gift these special crafted chocolates to your loved ones in India by visiting their website www.royalbeans.in. Use the promotional code GLA10 to get 10% discount off your order. Thank you.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Globalization. Hashtag MeToo is a social media campaign that was spread across Hollywood last year after sexual allegations by actresses against Harvey Weinstein. Soon after, we heard about Kevin Spacey's story of sexual misconduct on a minor. Sexual misconduct is a harsh reality of our society. And today, we are talking to Vinay, who had approached us to talk about a disturbing topic of child sexual abuse. He has been a victim of the abuse and wanted to share the bitter truth of living with the unfortunate experience. Vinay has an amazing aura to his personality, and his courage to talk about the dark side of his life is a testament to his strong mindset. He's a family man with a good intention and wants to provide back to the community in his own way, and will be starting a couple of projects that he's passionate about called Loving Grandparents and Stop Bad Touch. Let's hear Vinay's story. Hi Vinay, welcome to Globalization. Let me start by commending your intention to talk about child sexual abuse in India. I was completely gobsmacked while doing a research on the topic. Let me just read this from the National Crimes Bureau report. 100,000 crimes against children were registered in India last year. 30% of those were sexually related. Now, I'm sure, you know, these are statistics. The actual figure would be probably 5 or 6 times more, because, you know, it's one of those topics not many people come and talk about it. Please, may I request you to first tell us where in India you're from and describe the unfortunate chapter of sexual abuse as a child in your life.
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Vinay, and I'm from a town nearby Mumbai. And I'm here to talk about child sexual abuse, how we can prevent it, and how we can identify it amongst our children. And mainly how we can prevent it and safeguard the future of our child.
You mentioned you're from a place which is very close to Mumbai, and you have personally gone through this trauma in your life. At what age were you when you realized that this was something wrong happening with you?
I just remember vaguely that I was quite young. I was around age of 5 or 6 when the child sexual abuse started, and it went on quite a few years in my life. I'm here to talk about that child sexual abuse exists in our family, in our society, and we need to talk about it openly in the society as well as educate our children. Because being in the UK, we have this facility where government establishments such as schools or maybe some counseling sectors educate parents as well as children about this matter. But in India, unfortunately, this is moreover like a taboo, talking about this subject. And as a result, what happens is like our children are being neglected due to fault of our parents, and maybe parents, they don't realize it themselves. I was subjected to child sexual abuse, and it has deeply impacted me, the person I am. I'm going to talk about the emotional aspect of my behavior, how it changed me, and certain actions of myself, why it happened, how it happened, and things like that. To talk about the emotional aspect of child sexual abuse, one of the most important emotional aspect which I've gone through is like isolating myself from people. I always disconnected with people straight away, and I hated my town, I hated my city, I hated my people around me, and I always wanted to move out of my town. So I moved out to a different city to complete my basic education, my engineering degree. I was not happy in my city because I was seeing my town and the people around quite often. So I came to UK to live my life, and I've been living my life from last 10 years.
Okay. So while you were going through, obviously, an unfortunate chapter in your life, you mentioned that you want to talk about that emotional roller coaster or emotional acceptance of, A, first understand what's actually going in your life is completely wrong and illegal. Two, I'm sure it's a sensitive topic for you to discuss, but from parents' point of view, I'm, obviously father to a five-year-old. It's very hard for parents to understand that. And especially I understand a lot of sexual abuse happens within the family or, near the family to from a neighbor, etc. So how do you feel that, a parent can have, because it's hard to live in an afraid environment, where you don't really realize that somebody who would be so close to your family can actually mm-hmm. do something like that. So how would you say parents should be on their guard in order to, have these kind of events mm-hmm. highlighted in an informed manner?
Sure. Before going into the prevention side of what parents and what children should do, I'd like to take a step back and explain to the audience what is child sexual abuse, what are the forms of child sexual abuse firstly. So child sexual abuse is basically an activity where they are forced to do something or take part in sexual activities without their consent and without they being aware of it. And there are mainly two types of sexual abuse which goes on. One of them is the contact based, when there's a physical contact between the offender as well as child. And the other side of the child sexual abuse is more non-contact based, such as showing them pornographic videos, showing them some body parts, showing them some graphics. So that's an indirect way of child sexual abuse. So this is the two common form practices which are followed by the offenders in our society for child sexual abuse. And this is what summarizes child sexual abuse. And now moving on to your second question, how should we prevent this in our society? Firstly, I think so parents play an important role in creating awareness among the child and giving the security to the child about child sexual abuse, about anything basically.
But just to kind of follow on from that, Vinay, parents of course are critical to the child's listening. They are the listening ears for their child. But then at that point of time, you did not feel the need to confide in anybody apart from your family. Let's say a friend, a confidant, just somebody completely unbiased and neutral at that point of time, or did you feel completely cut off and isolated?
I was cut off and isolated by myself. I was not forced by my parents. I was not forced by my family members to be isolated. It was just my behavior trait. So firstly, I like to educate parents how they can identify child sexual abuse with the child, or if something abnormal is going on with the child, they can look at the child sexual abuse signs, such as your child will be withdrawn from events. They will not be taking part in events. They will not be taking part in social gatherings. They'll strangely behave. They'll be isolated. Your child can be more anxious, and they might have sleeping issues. They might have eating disorders. Suddenly, they can be very aggressive, and they might think about missing the schools. They might not perform as well they used to perform in the education, in the academics. So these are the symptoms which are one of the seen factors of the child sexual abuse. So I'm not saying that if your child is not performing well in the academics, it means that he or she is going through child sexual abuse. But these are the elements which are the effects of the child sexual abuse, which are the common elements which can be seen in the child's behavior. And moving on to the question, how parents can prevent this. Children and parents, they both actively have to prevent this child sexual abuse. And it's a responsibility mainly of a parent to protect the child. Firstly, I think so parents should stop the emotional abuse which goes on in the family. Emotional abuse is something which is ongoing maltreatment of a child. And obviously parents does it. They think they're doing good for the child, but they don't realize it. They are causing more harm than what good it can do for them. I'll explain, give you an example, like what emotional abuse can be. What are the elements of emotional abuse? Emotional abuse can be mistreating the child, your child in front of people, always downgrading your child, not treating them with respect, then always ignoring them in front of people, always belittling them, always demonstrating them that they are not good enough in whatever they are doing. And I think so, in today's day and age, parents should understand that it's not a race and each and every child will be unique. They should understand that if some person is good in academics, someone will be good in dance, someone will be good in extracurricular activities. So parents should understand these factors. And today when I go to India, it's very depressing to see that all the parents, they are so engaged in the child, in the life of the child. They want the child to excel in the academics. They want the child to excel in dance. They want the child to excel in the swimming. So all these activities, they just want child to excel in each and everything. And what happens after that is like you're forcing this behavior patterns. You're forcing this activities on the child, and what happens is like mainly you don't get time to communicate, have a decent conversation between a child and a parent. So there's no time for this, and there's no bonding as it should be, you know. And there's always a comparison in the society: XYZ is doing better, why you can't do. So parents should understand this basic factor that each child is unique, and they should stop the emotional abuse, and it's not a cat race. You should always think what your child needs and what's better for your child, and think about the long term rather than the short term excelling in academics or sports.
It's a logical, you know, parenting tips, which I think a lot of parents in today day and age hopefully understands that. If not, then obviously they have to look and see if, you know, see the body language of the kids and see how best they can behave, at least at home.
I mean, it's quite topical that we bring up this, you know, we are talking about this right now, especially seeing how Hollywood has suddenly been riddled with people and very famous celebrities coming forward, talking about sexual abuse, the Harvey Weinstein scandal, and more recently when protagonist from House of Cards was removed because he confessed to sexual abuse. So I think there is a wave, certainly, and as a result, the actions are being taken.
Mm-hmm.
But how effective do you think this can be in terms of penetration into our day-to-day lives? Because we have talked about awareness, but what are more practical tips that you can give to parents?
Sure. The practical tips I can give to the parents is like they can educate their children on the simple rules such as pants, which is widely and commonly practiced in the UK. And I'll just quickly explain what pants is all about. Pant, it starts for P, as in private and private. Parents can make their children understand that their underwear covers the private part, make them understand what are the private parts, and parents should explain that no one else has an authority to touch these parts apart from doctors and nurses, and even they can touch in presence of their parents itself. So that stands for P. And then the second one is A. They should always, A stands for always. Parents should always educate their child with just one simple thing: the body always belongs to them. Like, always educate your child that the body belongs to themselves and no one has authority over that again. And N stands for no. No means no. If a child is not comfortable, if any XYZ person touching them or showing them graphics or whatever, they can simply say no and stand out. They can be very loud and vocal about it. And T stands for talk. Parents should always encourage talking to the child about what happened throughout the day, how was the day been, and take time out to talk to the child and understand their stories as well. The more they are open to hear them, more they are open to listen to them, the more they will speak and more open the relationship would be. And S is speak up, which is the next one. Speak up is like always speak up if you think parents should educate the child, if you think anything that any thoughts that are disturbing them, any thoughts that are making them anxious, depressed, worried, always come and speak up. And parents should always understand this is an emotional side of relationship, which I think so both mother and father should take active part on it. And moreover, I like to add up with this is like, in our society, we have subjects such as history, we have subjects like geometry, we have subjects like algebra, maths, and science. And people do want their children to excel in them. But unfortunately, we don't have any subjects such as emotional balance. So I want this subject to be talked about, to be spoken about, and widely practiced in the family itself, how they can gain the emotional balance of the child, how they can control the emotions, whether it's anger, whether it's whatever emotions a child has to express. So person should always able to control the emotions, and there should be an emotional balance. So these are the things I think so parents can actively take part and educate the child to prevent the child sexual abuse.
Yeah, that's quite interesting to know that PANS is, you know, easy to remember, and at the same time it's a good points that you've given for any parent to discuss to their kids in a decent and mature manner with their offsprings. So let's understand a bit more about your personality, Vinay. Obviously you're a grown-up man now, you're married, you've got a lovely daughter. What's life for you now?
To be honest, my life currently is very good. I'm enjoying my life with my daughter and my wife, and obviously with my parents. I'm quite happy with it. Just before this, I like to rewind back prior to this, before I met my wife. Although I was very happy, there was something which was killing me inside. So before getting married, the child sexual abuse had affected me emotionally. And I was very depressed at times. I was very lonely at times. And I was very suicidal as well. And thanks to a couple of my friends who were there with me throughout this journey of life. And luckily, I have a very understanding wife. And I was very open about these topics prior to marriage, prior dating my wife. So which was very good and helpful. I like to clarify and say this very firmly. There's never an 100% healing through this to this matter. There are all the scars behind it, and the scars which has affected me and has made me the person I am. So there's never a 100% cure to this the aftermath of child sexual abuse. And I also like to add, like, you know, I remember this very well. Before I said to myself, I spoke to God saying that it would have been better that I would have been suffered with cancer or something more physical illness. At least that could be more easy to cure, maybe, you know, but this is something which goes through your mind, through your soul, and you have to live with it throughout. And there were quite occasions, many times I had nightmares and bad sleeps all the time. There was a lot of emotional imbalance in myself. And for this, I've taken alternative therapies. I've gone into spirituality. And being Hindu myself, I've worshipped gods and stuff like that. I'm not saying this is the right way, but this is the way that worked for me. And I started doing meditation and a lot of sadhana. So that helped me overcoming all this. And I've been very vocal about this issue with my friends, couple of my friends, and my wife, definitely. So that has helped me to the person what I am today. And what matters to me and what mattered to me was like acceptance. Initially, I always thought about the society. Initially, I always thought about the relatives. Initially, I always thought about people. But today, what matters to me is my family, that is my parents, my wife, my daughter, and my siblings, maybe, and a couple of my friends. That's all. Rest of them is just dust. So that's the approach I've always taken. If you accept me, the things with the issues with I've gone through, then you're acceptable. If not, then I can't help it. That's the ideology I always had. I just like to highlight that most of the time, the person, the offender who is doing the child sexual abuse is one of the close relatives. And the UNICEF statistics says that 50% of abusers are known to the child. So parents should always think about who they can trust with the child. And they should also understand, in India, the people think that, oh, he's a guy, nothing will happen to him. But the statistics says that 54% of the guys are being children,
young boys
are subjected to sexual abuse, and 51% of girls are subjected to child sexual abuse. And these are the registered statistics by World Health Organization.
These are the reported statistics.
Yes,
and there are far too many people who do not come out and talk about it.
Definitely. And people don't talk about it because, in general, parents, they don't talk about it. And people think that's a taboo.
Yeah, I was reading about the UK figures as well. And they say that a lot of disabled kids get more sexually abused than the, you know, able kids, so to speak. So,
it's unfortunate, isn't it?
Unthinkable.
And the child sexual abuse, the trauma of this is always there in my mind, in my soul, in somewhere in the corner. But we just have to live with it and take things more positively. And important thing is, like, I was shaken but not broken. And I'm not broken. So which is the message I like to pass.
That's, I think, the most important thing. And I think moving or channelizing that positive energy in a good way, we understand that you now have a charity that you are going to register very soon. Tell us more about that.
Sure. I aim to start, and in fact, I've started some work on a charity called As Loving Grandparents. I'm planning to register this charity soon. And this charity is all about caring for elderly people. And the vision I have for this charity is opening an old age home for elderly people in India and provide them with facilities which they're deprived of. In the UK, we have this luxurious facility of excellent healthcare, excellent leisure clubs and social clubs for elderly people. But in India, we don't have this facility. We are very unfortunate to take care of our elders. And India is growing old rapidly. Initially, the life expectancy rate was approximately 40 years in the year 1951, and today is 64 years. So the age today, the people live
much longer.
So we need to have a good healthcare system for elderly people, and think about them, think about our parents, and it's all about taking care of elderly people and set up an old age home to help them.
So what elements of charity do you think old age people would be able to get engaged with? So I'm sure, you know, it's not just a old age home where they will come whole day and sit there and go back home or live there for a good number of years. A lot of these, as you mentioned, a lot of these centers within UK have a certain curriculum for them, which keeps them engaged, some kind of, you know, exercises or some kind of hobbies, etc. Is that something in your agenda as well?
Yeah, sure. For the old age home, what I plan to do is, or at least what I plan is, having some sort of hobby things, like maybe music, having some games around for the elderly people, having some day-to-day picnics, and like a family, but away from the family. And not only this, Loving Grandparents will be all about educating youth and children of today, how they can take care of their parents, how they can take care about their grandparents, basically. It's not only for underdeprived people, it's for everyone, to educate them about how they can give them a better life.
So, Vinay, that sounds very promising. Can I just ask, what is the thought process behind starting this charity? What made you choose this?
Talking about Loving Grandparents, why I think about starting this charity, or why I've started this charity, is purely because I was very, very close to my grandmom. And so this is something in her memory I like to start. And I like to add on this, I've seen people, elderly people with some issues. The most commonly issues they have today is economic the financial issues. Youth today, they are not able to take care of their parents or grandparents just because of the financial issues, and that's very disturbing. People should understand that throughout their life, parents were able to take care of the child. In fact, in this the country where I come from, a parent will have more than one child. So parents can take care of their children, two or three children, but it's very unfortunate to say this and feel this, that two or three children cannot take care of their parents. So it's one of the things which I've seen around in the society. Mm. And I've seen that people, children, they use their parents. They take them as a nanny or nana for their child, to take care of their children. Maybe to moms are being used, grandmoms are being used to cook food. So this is really wrong, and people should raise a voice against it and talk about it. And other issues which I've seen in elderly people today is a lack of emotional support from the child itself, from their grandchildren itself. The way they treat them is absolutely pathetic. I'm not saying that everyone does it, but it's just some section of the society does it, and it does exist in the society. And another problem, one more common problem which is seen in cities today, is like if parents are having more than one child, then they are asked to split. Son will live with the dad, and other son will live with their mom, and so parents are split unwillingly. It's not their choice, but they have to do it just for the sake of their children.
We think it's a fantastic opportunity, and we wish you all the luck with it. But I think, just in closing, to summarize what we've discussed today, I think abuse is a very, very serious topic. And what we learned from you and your experience, and your very unfortunate experience, is the fact that we should respect that children are individuals before they are your children. And the fact that abuse is abuse, whether it's by a man or a woman, and it can happen to a man or a woman. And that we should not ignore any signs or behavioral changes that our children bring back from work, from school. And that we should engage in a very healthy, mature, engaging conversation with our children at all times, to be able to understand them, not as the, as your children, but as people that they are. So I think we really, really do commend, and would like to thank you for coming forward and talking about such a disturbing period in your life, which has obviously, you know, scarred you for a very long time. And but we are glad, and we hope you recover from it and get all the strength that you are, and engage in all positive initiatives like you are. So thanks very much.
Sure, thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. You can catch all upcoming episodes on the website globalize-asian.co.uk or via your iOS or Android devices. Also, if you wish to join us as a speaker and share your story, please do drop us a message via the contact form on the website.